This episode of Standard Orbit is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for your tablet, smartphone, and desktop. Support the show and get a free audiobook of your choice by visiting audibletrial.com/trekfm.
Hey everyone, I'm Rod Roddenberry, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Follow Standard Orbit, Mr. Chekhov, and take us home.
Hi, sir.
It is the word of Landru.
Joy to you, friends, and thanks for joining us here in Standard Orbit, Trek FM's dedicated show to the original series. My name is Drew, or Landru, and this is my co-host Mike from Commentary Trek Stars.
Hello.
Well, it's high time we dive back into Season 3, the ignored season. I mean, I think we've been talking about the animated series more than we've been talking about Season 3.
Yeah, see, we did a thing a long time ago at this point where we were like, let's do our top five episodes of each season. And we did season one, and then we did season two, and then we did some other stuff. And then we were like, oh, let's do the canon thing. And we did season one, and we did season two, and then we did season three. And then I was looking at the sheet, and I'm like, we never did our top five of season three. We just forgot about it because, let's be honest, that's what you do with season three, because it's terrible. Deal with it. So we figured we should actually do something with that, right? We should finish it up. We should, you know,
right,
look at season three and come up with our top five
favorites. It's not necessarily the top five best episodes.
Yes, top five favorites. And that's what we're doing this week.
Yep. So I imagine that we'll have mostly the same episodes.
Yeah, because really, I mean,
we've already established there's only really like seven good episodes. Eight. We chose eight.
We chose eight for the canon, but does that mean there's eight good episodes? I think that's being very generous. Super generous. Super duper generous. As in, there are not eight good episodes in this season. Not at all. There may be four. Maybe four good episodes.
I have four episodes, and then I picked a fifth one. So,
really? Because that's exactly what I did.
I bet we picked the same episodes.
I bet we didn't.
Maybe the order will be different.
All right. Well, what's your number five?
My number five is Spock's Brain.
Okay. That's weird.
I think, like Mud's Passion last week, it's so bad it's good. I think that it's got enough quotable dialogue, and it's fun. I mean, Five Year Mission is writing 12 songs about this one episode, because it's just so much comedy material there, that even if it's not very good, I would say it's one of my favorites. I mean, it's. I would suggest that people watch it. I mean, it's one of those things, like Mud's Passion, where you can kind of just like not really pay attention to it, but still, you know, get some enjoyment out of it.
Yeah. I disagree with that. I think it's just so bad that it's bad. I just don't get it. I'm sorry. I know there's definitely like a Plan 9 from Outer Space thing going on with this episode, and people love it. And like, honestly, I think that if it wasn't called Spock's Brain, people wouldn't respond to it as much as they do.
That's part of, I think, the beauty of it, is that it's from the beginning, from the very title, it's just camp.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I haven't read Cushman's Season 3 book yet, but I'm interested to see if they did that on purpose.
Well, no, I mean, I think, was he the one who was telling us about this, or someone, somewhere, yeah, I was reading where they were like, look, you know, this is what was going on, this is what they were trying to do, there was a lot of talk in the news about a certain thing, like a new experimental drug like that, and they were like, let's tap into that, and it just fell flat, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like about, something about transplants or something, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, but I enjoy watching it, you know?
It's fair enough. It's fair enough. Yeah.
All right, so what's your number five, Mr. Fancy Pants?
My number five is the Tholian Web. And if you have anything higher, then let me know and we'll stop and talk about
it. I've got it as number two.
All right, spoilers. Okay, so we'll talk about that in a little bit. What's your number four?
So my number four is Let That Be Your Last Battlefield.
Okay, I've got that one higher. So let's go to my number four, which is There in Truth No Beauty?
Okay, I don't have that at all. Let's talk about it.
All right. This episode isn't very good, but...
Are we just going to pin all of our choices on that?
You pretty much have to. But the thing about this episode, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, I think, is it's a crazy idea. You know, it's a crazy sci-fi idea where it's like, there is a being out there, which if you look at it, you will go insane. You know?
Yes.
Because of the way it looks, you cannot handle what it looks like. Your little brain cannot process this, and you will go insane. And there's something about that which is so out there and so weird, but it's like a legitimate sci-fi concept. And to sort of use that to tell a story about, you know, prejudice and stuff like that is really kind of cool. And mm-hmm. I give it props for that. There's a lot of that going on in season three. There's a lot of things where Larry once described this in regards to Voyager, where it became like the weird shit show. And it's like, I like that. Like, it's like these are like the types of things where that like Joe Manosky would write or something like that if he were working on the original series. And the idea, like the episodes are not very good, but the ideas are weird enough for it to be interesting. So
yeah.
I give it props for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I agree with you there. It was close. It's like number six.
Yeah.
So it was an honorable mention for that reason. And also Diana Muldar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Young Diana Muldar is quite a sight to see.
Yes. I would go insane looking at her because she's so beautiful.
Exactly.
I just made that up right now, but it sounded good, right?
No, it's great. It's fantastic.
Okay. All right.
All right. So, we skipped too much.
So what's your number three?
My number three is Day of the Dove.
Oh, that's my number three. High five?
Yeah!
All right.
We did it, you guys. You missed it. All right. Day of the Dove. Klingons. They're always cool. Klingons fighting with swords in the... Klingons are always cool in the original series.
Okay.
But here we get Klingons fighting on the Enterprise with swords.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if just for that image alone, it's definitely worth being a favorite.
Yeah. Yeah, this episode, it's not tremendously good, right?
Right.
But it's got like an interesting sort of message and sort of the way that it plays out is cool. I mean, it is cool seeing Klingons. And, you know, I kind of like the themes going on and the idea that there's this being where, you know, they're like, we feed off of hate. So let's just put these two people together and we're good. We're good to go. You know, it's going to be awesome. And then they just get them to fight like crazy because that's what they would do. And then eventually, you know, they're like, maybe we should stop doing this because all we're doing is being used. And, you know, there's a lot of like, you know, interesting social commentary there. And I like that. You know, I like the idea of saying like, hey, everybody, maybe we should just stop fighting and it would be all good, you know? So for that, I give this episode a thumbs up.
Yeah.
I guess you could say.
Excellent.
Yeah. Boy, there's really like nothing in season three, which is like at all good. Wow. This season is the really, really, really
Hey,
bad.
At least we don't have Next Generation season one.
You know, Next Generation season one is better than original series season three.
Well, okay. I don't know about that.
It is. It is.
I think just having Kirk, Spock, and McCoy makes them better. I don't know if I'd be behind Next Generation if it was you know, our era.
What do you mean?
If I had been, like, in 1986, mm-hmm. and I had been, you know, a fan of the original series, I don't think I would care. I think I would be anti Next Generation.
Yeah, I had an aunt that was like that. And she, I think probably what happened was she saw season one, like, of Next Generation, and she's like, nah. You know, yeah. And like, this is the aunt who, like, got me into Star Trek. You know, I borrowed her videotapes of the movies and everything. And then, you know, after those, I went back and I watched Next Gen, because that was the one that was on every night at 6 o'clock on WPWR Power 50. And I liked it a lot, obviously, and went back to her and said, why don't you like this show? It's good. And she watched it, and she was like, oh, yeah, this is really good, isn't it?
It got better.
It was those first two seasons that, it would be a fight to get through those in order to see season three.
It was really bad when I bought the Blu-rays and I bought the first two seasons. Yeah. Like, all right, let's really get into Next Generation. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is, I don't know about this, you guys.
Yeah, I know. The same thing
happened.
This
was probably a mistake of an investment.
Like, I was so happy when they came out on DVD, and I'm like, look at this. Let's watch Encounter at Farpoint, and then the rest of them all in a row. And then I watched, like, half of Encounter and Farpoint, and I'm like, yeah. And then, like, season three comes out, and I'm like, oh, God, I've got to get through, like, 50 hours of crap just to get to the good stuff. This is the worst. Oh, no. But all's well
later.
That ends well.
Yeah.
So.
It's not our series. Sorry, Earl Grey.
Yeah.
We'll get back to TOS. So, we're going to get... So, did we do your four? Did we cover your four yet?
Yeah, we did four and three. We're down to two now.
Okay. I'm just making sure we get them all.
Yeah.
So what's your number two?
My number two is The Mark of Gideon.
Really?
Yeah. Another thing I like is there in Truth No Beauty, where, you know, like, I watch this episode and I'm like, it's even one of those where I have to be like, okay, what's the episode where the thing happens with them and they turn on the lights and they see all the people wandering outside of the Enterprise? What's the name of that episode? And I have to, like, scroll through all the episodes until I find it, and it's like, okay, that's it, yeah. And it's weird, because in doing that, like, I started reading, like, reviews on IMDb, and mm-hmm. people are like, this is one of the worst episodes in Star Trek history. It makes no sense. Why would a Starfleet captain do this when they could easily check on the sensors and the thing and the... And also, why would a planet which is overly populated build a whole thing of the Enterprise, you know, a replica of the Enterprise, and take up a bunch of space and everything? And it's like, okay, maybe all that is true, you know, but... Who cares? Because, you know, they're doing something crazy and weird, and does a thing which is kind of lacking on it. Well, in season three, I guess, in particular, where it's got very strange imagery, mm-hmm. Like not like cool or beautiful imagery. I'm talking about just, like, strange imagery which makes an impact, and like that shot where you see, like, everyone walking outside of the window and everything like that, and they're just packed in there. It's crazy and cool, and that, like, one image makes you think about things that, you know, even if you can't sustain its 50-minute runtime, it's kind of worth it. You know, it leaves an impact. So for that, I put it at number two, I guess.
It's very Twilight Zone-y.
Yeah, it is.
The being alone on the ship with strange people, and then, like, the imagery of the people outside the ship is very... very... kind of creepy and scary. I could see that.
Yeah, it's like that, you know. I was reminded a lot of, like, THX 1138 for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah,
tonally
Lucas
speaking.
Probably ripped it off.
Probably, yeah.
Lucas was like, oh, you know, my favorite episode of Star Trek. That would be a Lucas thing.
Yeah.
My favorite episode of Star Trek is the Mark of Gideon.
I could see that. And you know, like, that's the thing. Like, he keeps on talking about now. He's like, I'm going to make a bunch of movies, and they're going to be weird. He's like, they're going to be like Koyaanisqatsi, but with a narrative. And, you know, I might show them to some of my friends, but I'm not going to release them because no one would see them. And I'm like, what? No. You've got it, you know, because that, I think, is where his passion lies, is like doing things like Mark of Gideon. I'd love to see George Lucas's Mark of Gideon, you know, but whatever. I don't know.
Yeah,
he's
we'll see what happens.
He's weird, like Mark of Gideon.
All right, my number two is the Tholian web.
Yeah, that's my number five.
Which is your number five.
Mm-hmm.
I like Tholian web. It's got the... it's got, like, multiple time constraints. I kind of like the Racing Against the Clock episodes. And so you've got the Racing Against the Clock of the ship disappearing, and then the Racing of the Clock of the Kirk, you know, being stuck in and out of time. I mean, it's very not scientific or you know, really doesn't make a lot of sense. But I like the, you know, the whole web idea and the way that they get out of it by going through the pocket in space-time and appear out the other side. It's and it's got some good Spock and Command kind of stuff, and good Spock-McCoy moments that I enjoy it. I honestly enjoy the episode a lot.
Yeah, you ever seen Mean Girls?
Yes.
It's awesome, right?
Yes.
Way better than anything in season 3 of Star Trek.
Sure.
And there's one line at the end, because there's the whole thing where, like, she grew up in Africa, so she doesn't know anything about, like, pop culture or anything like that. And, like, there's the one part where they, like, play a song, and she's like, do you know who sings this song? And she goes, the Spice Girls. And then, you know, the Rachel McAdams, like, you're such a Martian, you know, and everything like that. And then at the end of the movie, like, I think it might be one of the last lines of dialogue or whatever, a song starts playing, and Lizzie Kaplan, I think, says, I love this song. And then Lindsay Lohan is like, I know this song. And it's like triumphant for her or whatever. That's kind of how I feel about Tholian web. And when it comes to this list, I'm like, I remember this episode.
You can actually list all the things that happened in this episode.
That means it should be number five here. And, you know, I'm like, this is, you know, this is actually like a prequel to one of my favorite episodes of Enterprise, or my favorite episode of Enterprise, In a Mirror Darkly. And I'm like, you know, like, which I didn't even remember when I was watching that. I'm like, it actually, you know, I knew that there were Tholians, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. But then it's like, this actually is all tied into that and everything like that. And it's kind of cool in that sense. And because of all that, I put it at number five on my list. But, well, I guess the concepts and everything are sound, in, you know, sort of dramatically speaking or whatever. To me, it kind of got old fast. You know, like with Kirk, he keeps on phasing in and out, and I'm just like, let's get on with this thing. Come on, let's move it. Let's pick up the pace. Let's go, let's go, let's go. So it kind of drags for me, but on the whole, as far as season 3 is concerned, it's pretty good.
Well, now, number one, I think it seems like we probably both have the same number one.
No, because I had your number 4 or something like that at number one. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So... let's do your number one.
All right.
Then.
It's Let That Be Your Last Battlefield.
All right.
Yeah. This episode's cool. I like this episode. It's good. You know, like a lot of episodes of Star Trek, especially the original series, like the concept is so clean and perfect that you could almost do it in like a line of dialogue, and you don't need like 50 minutes behind it. And I think that that's kind of problematic, because like if you were to ask me for like a beat for beat retelling of this episode, I couldn't tell you what it was, but I can absolutely 100% tell you like the themes and the ideas and everything like that, which were present in this episode, and that's really what's important. You know, I mean, I guess you could say that it may not be very sound storytelling if, you know, it takes 50 minutes to get across a point which you could get across in like 2 minutes, but, you know, that's the nature of the thing, right? So, yeah, mm-hmm. So yeah, I love this episode. It's kind of like perfect Trek in a sense, conceptually.
I agree. I like how straightforward it is. In that it's obvious what the moral of the story is, but it tells a good story around it, and I felt like it needed to be on the top five, in my top five, not necessarily number one, because there's one that I enjoy better.
And what's that?
The Enterprise incident.
Yeah.
I really like the Enterprise incident. I like, there's a lot of good character beats. I like the, what I really like is in the beginning where Kirk's acting crazy, the crew and the audience doesn't know what's wrong with him. Like, everybody's just questioning his orders and he's just acting like a crazy person. He's doing it as a cover so that no one, you know, they can just pretend if everything goes wrong that, that Kirk just went crazy and, you know, it's not the Federation's fault, certainly not the rest of the crew's fault. But I like that kind of thing. I like in Ocean's 11, where you know most of the plan, but you mm-hmm. don't know all of it. I get that kind of vibe from Kirk, you know, like, oh, okay, it was part of the plan. You meant for this to happen. I also like the Spock and the Romulan commander relationship and clever dialogue and back and forth. And it's just, I like it. It's a really fun episode for me. And I like that it goes out of its way to explain why, I mean, just for me as a continuity slash ship lover, I really like the fact that they stopped and were like, look, the Romulans are using Klingon designs now because they're friends yeah. and all. I just like that they actually stopped and explained that instead of being, just ignoring yeah. it completely.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, I can't say anything bad about this episode. I mean, I've seen it a few times, but I'm really not as familiar with it as I should be, I guess. But then again, I don't feel the great need to go back and rewatch it. So maybe I'm as familiar with it as I should be. I don't know. But it's one of those things where, sure. like, this is one of those episodes where people always talk about it, and they always, you know, and I always feel like I'm like. Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, you know, even though I've seen it. And I feel like I should go back and watch it again, but I don't really, I mean, like, the fact that I've seen it all this many times and it's never had an impact on me makes me think that it really wouldn't have an impact on me still. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's weird.
No, I can understand your feelings.
Thanks.
I forgive you. So I covered all mine.
Yeah. So that's it.
And you covered all yours.
So what were your top five, just going through?
So my top five were, starting at number five, Spock's Brain, Let That Be Your Last Battlefield, Day of the Dove, Tholian Web, and the Enterprise Incident.
And mine were The Tholian Web, Is There in Truth No Beauty, Day of the Dove, The Mark of Gideon, and Let That Be Your Last Battlefield.
That's a pretty good spread.
Yeah.
It's a really good spread. Yeah. So now we'll do a little news segment, because we're the only series that's getting any news.
Yeah.
And it turns out that Payne and McKay, whom you interviewed on Commentary Trek Stars in the past, are no longer helping to write the new Star Trek movie, Star Trek 2016, the 50th anniversary, Star Trek 13, Star 3.
Yeah, and neither is Roberto Orci, apparently.
And neither's Orci. So now we've got Simon Pegg, who played Scotty. And who's the other guy?
Doug Young, who...
Mm-hmm. I've not seen any of his work.
He made a movie about 10 years ago called Confidence with Edward Burns, which was pretty good. It's about mm-hmm. con men.
Yeah. I like it.
And he also created a cop show called Dark Blue.
Yes, you seemed excited about this. I'd never heard of Dark Blue.
I'd heard of Dark Blue, but I've never seen it.
Oh, okay.
And now he works on a show called Banshee, which I haven't seen either. The only thing of his that I've actually seen is Confidence, and I like it. And Simon Pegg, of course, has written a ton of very good movies. He did the Cornetto trilogy, Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and The World's End. And then he also wrote Run, Fat Boy, Run, which was, I guess, a scenario similar to this where he was acting in it and they were like, the script is not working. And then he's like, let me take a stab at that.
Really?
And then turned it into something, which I think is a decent movie.
It's an all right movie.
Yeah, and then he did Paul, which I thought was amazing. I love Paul.
Really?
I love Paul.
I didn't even give it a try.
Really?
I think because Seth Rogen's involved. I kind of have a Seth Rogen problem.
Really?
I guess.
I love Seth Rogen. But, it's, you know, mo-capped Seth Rogen. You know, it's Greg Modula directed it. You know, he did.
I don't know. The trailer just didn't grab me.
Wow. It's about two nerds who are traveling across country from San Diego Comic-Con and stopping by alien hotspots, and it's awesome.
I kind of want to see it because someone I went to college with is an extra in it.
Oh, yeah?
At some point, she's walking down the street, and apparently, like, she's right there on camera, but I've never actually seen the movie to confirm that. But, I mean, that's really it. I don't know.
That's so weird. I'll see it sometime. It's about an alien who goes across country with some sci-fi nerds played by Nick Frost and Simon Pegg. Where is the downside here? I don't understand it. I thought for sure you'd be all over this thing. Oh yeah, no, I love this thing. It's great. Lots of, you know, Star Wars and Star Trek references, I think. Maybe not Star Trek. Lots of Star Wars references for sure. And lots of alien type of references and stuff, and a really, really great cast and a really good story. So yes. Watch this for sure. I mean, there's stuff in there where I'm like, what? And then what? Yeah, I mean, you got to see. I can't even spoil it for you, but.
Okay.
And yeah, everyone's really good. But I think this is the best thing that Simon Pegg's ever written, if you ask me.
Okay.
Yeah. And then he also did Spaced.
Yes, which is incredible.
Which someone brought up. Was it someone on the Babel conference? Or someone, no, I don't know where it was, but someone actually posted a clip from Spaced where they, because they're like, oh, well, you know, Simon Pegg is doing this and it's an odd numbered movie and everything like that. And I guess there's a scene in Spaced where Simon Pegg is talking about the even odd rule. And he's like, there's no way that an odd numbered Star Trek movie can ever be good. This is a fact. This is a law of the universe, you know? And now he's writing one. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, he also badmouthed, you know, Lucas and modern Lucas and, you know, burned all of his Star Trek toys in a funeral pyre kind of thing in that series.
Yeah.
But he did a voice of a bounty hunter in Clone Wars.
That's true. He did. Yeah. That's funny.
But I really like Simon Pegg. I like him as Scotty. I like his writing, from what I've seen. Sorry, I haven't seen his best work yet. But I like his writing. I think that he has a grasp of Star Trek, or maybe I feel like he has the best grasp of what I like about Star Trek. The characters and the more comedic aspects. I mean, because, you know, my favorite episode's I, Mud. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be all over a comedy writer coming in who probably also loves that episode.
Yeah. You know, and you know, I was down in Florida this weekend or last weekend for Max's wedding. And, you know, Max is a huge Simon Pegg fan. You know, is Shaun of the Dead, you know, is Max's. Well, Max thinks that Shaun of the Dead is the best movie ever made, and yes, and everything like that. And we're sitting around, and I'm like, "So Simon Pegg's writing Star Trek?" And he's like, "Really?" And he's like, "I no longer want it to be piece of the action. I want them to do Spock's brain." So, it could be cool. You know, I definitely have faith in him. You know, he's a really good writer. Obviously, a lot of people are like, are they going to make a comedy now? What's going to, you know, like there's the whole thing with like, where they're like, oh, they want it to be Guardians of the Galaxy, you know? And they're like, oh, they're...
Yeah, I don't believe a word of that article.
And they're hiring him because they want it to be Guardians of the Galaxy and stuff. And this kind of falls in line with that. And, you know, you could take that a number of ways. Like, when I brought that up to Max, Max is like, oh, so you mean they want it to be good? And I'm like... I'm like, well, I don't know about that. But... You know, I mean, there is something to be said for that. You know, there's no reason to think that, for one thing, it can't be a comedy and be good, but also that it's going to be a comedy just because Simon Pegg's writing it. I mean, I haven't seen Dark Blue, but my guess is that it's not a knee slapper, you know? So they're obviously...
Just from the title, right, alone.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, I mean, and you know, Simon Pegg, he can do drama. Why couldn't he do drama, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, look at Shaun of the Dead, you know? I mean, the end? That does not work. I mean, it's very funny, but does it work because of the comedy? No. It's, like, very dramatically sound. So, whatever. I don't know. It'll be really interesting to see.
Yeah, each one of the Cornetto movies has moments of actual drama that I think hit really well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so I'm excited. I have faith in him and, you know, Justin Lin now, especially, you know, having seen some of his other work now, I have a lot of faith in that guy, too. So I think things are shaping up well.
I still need to rent the Fast and the Furious movies.
Have you seen it?
Catch up, because I've only seen the first two.
Yeah, well, the second one is the best one, but yeah, the ones that he did... 5 and 6 are really good, but I also just watched a Better Luck Tomorrow, which was his first movie. That's really good, kind of like Goodfellas, but with high school honor students.
Oh,
John
okay.
Cho's in it, so that's hey. Cool. And then I watched one of his episodes of Community, and I was like, "Holy crap! This thing is amazing." You know, and the direction has a lot to do with it. And now I'm like, God, I stopped Community like two episodes too early, you know, and now I need to go watch that entire show because it was pretty brilliant. So, yeah.
Yeah. I kind of stopped watching after a few seasons, but.
Okay. All right.
But I mean, I don't remember why. I think it was just one of those things where it was at the bottom of our, you know, shows we need to watch list, and it just kind of fell over.
That's kind of how it was with me, but like after like four episodes. So,
oh.
Yeah. It's not how I need to get back on the horse, I guess. But yeah, so Simon Pegg and Doug Young, be interesting to see what they do. And, you know, it sucks that Payne and McKay are gone, but, you know, they're creating a X-Men show with Evan Katz and Manny Coto, so good for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're still in the Star Trek family.
Yeah. So there you go.
I'd be interested to hear. I'm hoping that we can talk to them sometime about their idea, what they were going to do with Star Trek 13.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I would love to hear that. That'd be the best. Because, you know, we're all about the alternate realities, the alternate timelines.
And instead of speculating on all these other pitches, we could actually have the people who pitched it.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Okay, maybe someday. Well, it's fun talking about Season 3 and Simon Pegg today, but that's just a couple of the Trek topics we've been talking about on Trek FM this week. Here's a quick look at what you may have missed elsewhere on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
Really, really, really hope that if they do that, they make Chang the villain, because, you know, Captain Chang instead of General Chang or whatever, you know? I mean, that just seems like the perfect way to go.
Earl Grey.
All right, Riker, we're promoting you to captain. I mean, you killed the last captain. We usually don't reward that. That's usually not a policy, but in this case...
Well, to be fair, he had spent some time on a Klingon ship.
The Orb.
But the Federation and Bajor, as a member of the Federation, would be helping rebuild Cardassia. And I could see, like, very much the relationship between the U.S. and Japan today. I could see the Federation and Cardassia having that kind of relationship moving forward.
To the journey!
Janeway has a very distinct pain noise.
Yeah, she
kind of
does.
You know what I'm talking about?
It sounds sort of like she's suffocating.
Yeah, it sounds like she's suffocating and sometimes, and I'm going to keep it clean, not always in pain.
The Ready Room.
He is the best cosplayer ever because he's so buried himself in his part that we have no idea who this guy is outside of the impersonation of Tuvok.
Exactly.
He's the Christian Bale of the Delta Quadrant.
Mission Log, a Roddenberry Star Trek podcast.
If I'm not mistaken, in any upcoming episode of Next Generation, we don't see full-grown golden retrievers running around the decks of the Enterprise. And I'm also a little worried that Captain Picard has never played with puppies.
Commentary, Trek stars.
But you'd rather see Red in charge than him.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Right.
Because you really want Porn Stash to go down.
Yes, yes, you do. And that sentence out of context sounds really strange.
Literary Treks.
As great as Picard is and his Picard maneuver, I don't think Picard straightening his shirt is going to help him when he's going up against the Riker maneuver.
Fair enough, yeah.
So. Axanar, the official podcast.
The changes that we've made, the change to the nacelles and several other aspects of these ships to make them distinct and not the same ships as in Star Trek 2009.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out these shows and get in on the daily Trek talk. You find them on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, and SoundCloud, or you can stream from the website. Just visit Trek.fm/podcast to get all the links. Let's tell everyone where they can contact us if they'd like to share their thoughts on today's show. They can go to Trek.fm/contact. There's a form there. Choose to send a show and choose Standard Orbit. That'll come to both of us by email. You can also use the button on the left-hand side of any page to send us a voicemail using your webcam's microphone, and you can talk to us and our other listeners at our Facebook group, The Babel Conference. In social media, you'll find our Facebook page at facebook.com/trekfm, and on Twitter under username trekfm. Mike, where can people find you out of orbit?
You can find me right here on Trek FM doing commentary Trek Stars with Max and John, and you can find me on commentarytrackstars.com doing commentary Trek Stars off topic with Max and Brandon, and you can also find me on Twitter at Mumbles3K.
And you can find me on Twitter at 005, DOUBLEOFIVE, and on various other places around the internet, and on the Babel Conference. Before we go, we'd like to ask everyone to please support our sponsor, who helps us bring Standard Orbit to you each week, and our sponsor for the show is Audible.com. Audible's a great way for you to read all the books you've always wanted to read but never thought you'd have time for. Audible is the premier source for audiobooks with more than 150,000 titles to choose from and new titles coming every week. From classics to current bestsellers and even some of the most famous Star Trek books like Prime Directive, Federation, and Spock's World, Audible has something for everyone. Mike, what do you have for everyone?
Can we just go back a second? Now,
yeah.
I've been reading that same copy that you've been reading forever, and it's like Prime Directive, Federation, and Spock's World. And I've always thought, like, well, yeah, Prime Directive and Federation, I've heard about those. Everyone talks about how great they are and everything like that. And I never thought about it, but Spock's World?
Yeah.
What is that? Spock's World? What? Also,
are you actually questioning this, or is this a bit?
No, I'm like, what? I mean, I just thought of that. That sounds like Spock's brain. And now when I...
It's like the original Star Trek novel. It was like the first book that they wrote in the Star Trek expanded universe.
Okay. And because, I mean...
I think my dad had it. Like, it's one of those books that every Star Trek fan had because it was the only thing out there.
Okay, it sounds so weird, and now it doesn't look like it's available on Audible anymore, by the way.
Oh, well, maybe we should stop talking about it.
But we can talk about the book that comes up when we type in Spock's World. Spock's World? I mean, that sounds crazier than Spock's brain. Like, it's my world. Hey, guys, my name's Spock. Welcome to my world. I mean, what is that? I've never questioned that, but now Anyway, let's talk about Star Trek, Windows on a Lost World.
Wait, what?
I don't know.
That's
it's written
not even
by,
close.
It's written by V.E. Mitchell. It's narrated by Walter Koenig. An ancient alien artifact could cost Captain Kirk and his crew their minds and their lives, and Spock must solve ages-old mysteries before his captain and crewmates are lost forever. Featuring a dramatic reading by Walter Koenig, and enhanced with sound effects and an original score. And you can get this for free if you can't find Spock's World on audible.com, since you listen to Trek FM.
That's right. As a Trek FM listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice along with a 30-day trial just to see how great Audible is. So give it a try today. Catch up on all those classic Star Trek books you've yet to read.
Not Spock's
and that latest
World.
Novel, but not Spock's World. Or that latest novel from your favorite author as well, which wouldn't be Spock's World. Just go to audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm, and we thank Audible for supporting Standard Orbit and Trek FM. We'd also like to thank Richard Rutledge Jr. for being our associate producer this month. You can find him on Twitter at RUT8972, and we appreciate him supporting us on Patreon.
Yes, we do. Thank you very much, Richard.
And if you'd like to support us on Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/trekfm. That's patreon.com/trekfm. And you'll find a list of donation levels where you can get things like exclusive digital goodies, early access to episodes, access to our project manager, and even join Richard as one of the associate producers. You can find out where the donations can go, things like covering the monthly cost of hosting and distribution, hiring an editor for our shows, and upgrading our equipment. Very important stuff. So, again, that's patreon.com/trekfm, so check it out. Well, we're done with the most of the Season 3 discussions, or the series that we've done. I guess not most. We've got a couple other series that we need. We need to have Cushman back to talk about Season 3. We need to have Andy back to talk about Season 3 once she gets through Season 2 and into Season 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, so we talked about animated series last week and Season 3 this week. It's been kind of brutal. We need to do something next week, which is, you know, about something good.
Yeah, we'll come up with something good.
Okay. All right. That'd be good.
Well, everybody, thanks for listening. Have a good week and keep on trekking. It is the will of Landry.
Mr. Chekhov, take us out of orbit. Ahead, warp factor 1.
Hi, sir.